Hello and welcome to Scholars Speak, a podcast from the Mitchell Institute, in which we catch up with Mitchell scholars far and wide to hear their stories. Thank you for joining me, your host, Michelle Martin, the 1999 Mitchell Scholar from Scarborough High School, for today's episode of Scholars Speak. And now let's get to it.
We're really thrilled today to be joined by Dakota Dugan. Dakota and I have known each other for many, many years through the Mitchell Institute and even had the great pleasure of working together several years ago at TD Bank. And welcome, Dakota.
Thanks so much for having me, Michelle.
Excited to have you. I am excited myself to hear about more about what you've been up to over the past several years, which I know has been a very exciting time for you, both professionally and personally. But we usually like to start here around the beginning. So I know that you were the Mitchell Scholar in 2003 from Freiburg Academy. So tell us more about your high school experience and growing up in that area.
You know, I was really fortunate to grow up in Freiburg because we had a great school that had dorm students, but as a local, I was able to go there as a day student. I had a great experience at Freiburg Academy. I think very much small town Maine, it's what you make of it. But we had incredible educators. I had access to a lot of different sort of activities, languages, things like that, that I wouldn't have necessarily had at a different Maine school. Ended up having a great academic experience there and ultimately felt like it prepared me quite well to move on from there.
That's great. Do you remember having a favorite subject or anything when you were younger? And then is it showing up in your life at all now?
Absolutely. I was a STEM nerd, so I loved the sciences. I took a bunch of AP classes in the sciences. I actually remember one of my favorite college experiences actually took place at my high school. I was in an anatomy class on the pre-med track in college, and there was a component of science that I just wasn't clicking for me the way my college professor was teaching it. And I remember taking my textbook back to my high school to a teacher, Scott Cody Crosco, and just said, please, can you just explain the sodium potassium pump to me? Can you just like, I need you to dumb this down for me in a way that I can really understand it. And he ended up spending like an hour with me, and I walked out of there feeling really well prepared for an exam I was getting ready to take. But I absolutely loved the sciences. And really for me, the way that shows up now as a finance professional is the curiosity, just that innate desire to understand how things work and really unpack the experience has definitely served me well professionally.
When you were in high school, you obviously got the Mitchell Institute scholarship in your senior year. Do you remember much about that or how you learned about that?
I do. So I was extremely fortunate to have a guidance counselor that walked me through some of the things that I needed to do as I was going to school. I was a first-gen college student, so I didn't have a lot of, you know, at-home expertise that I could draw on. And growing up, you know, in a slightly underprivileged home, I applied for everything, every scholarship I could find. I spent hours every week doing it. But I remember finding the Mitchell Institute scholarship and looking at the criteria and the way that they were evaluating students. And I loved that they were focused on first-gen college students and really creating a whole experience rather than just a scholarship. It's the only scholarship I received in high school where I maintained contact long-term. It's been so much more than a scholarship for me. But I remember finding out that I received it. I remember the welcome breakfast. I met my best college friend at the welcome breakfast. Kate Durost is also a Mitchell Scholar from 03. Just a really tremendous experience.
I love to hear that. Actually, in the words you shared, more than a scholarship is something that the Mitchell Institute uses quite a bit, because I think all of us feel that way. And I know that you've stayed connected to the organization for all these years and spent time on the Alumni Council, and I'm sure many other things along the way. So it's exciting to hear that you've had that relationship for so long.
Absolutely. And one of the things I find the most interesting about that relationship is, as I look at my professional career, you know, my last few roles were direct derivatives of my experience at the Mitchell Institute. I remember Colleen, our former executive director, had a connection at the Gulf of Maine Research Institute, which is a company I worked at for about 5 years. And I remember being really interested in this role, but not feeling qualified or confident in what I was doing. And she made a few phone calls and got me connected. And I ended up having a great experience there. And then obviously you and I worked together at TD, which really was the springboard for me for a number of different things I've done professionally. I don't think any of that would have been possible without the Mitchell Institute.
I can't wait to hear about what you've been doing since I left there, because it's a lot. Before we get there, let's talk a little bit about your college journey and then certainly into your career, but would love to hear about your college experience.
You know, it was a really non-traditional experience for me. A lot of people, you know, move to college, stay in the dorm, have that very traditional 4-year experience, and I didn't. I ended up working through all of college, at least one job, because I grew up in a family that really couldn't finance it. And, you know, I lived in an apartment all through college, and I did an accelerated course of study where I finished my undergrad in just over 3 years. I spent the last year as an undergrad actually focused more on a master's program. But one of the things that it gave me the ability to do as a bit non-traditional was experience a few different roles at the university that I don't think a lot of other people have. I worked in a science lab, started college at Orono, and then I transferred after my first year to the University of Southern Maine. And I had the privilege of working for the Maine Center for Environmental Toxicology at the university. And I ended up doing this really fascinating science research on low-dose arsenic exposure, a flame retardant chemical called Deca-BDE, and some stem and neuron tracing as well. Just really sort of filled my cup as a science geek. And I don't know that I would have been able to do that without taking a slightly less traditional route to college. But because I was able to finish quickly and because I worked through college, I was able to pay off all of my student loans in my mid-20s, which is something as a late 30-something I'm definitely feeling now as I watch many friends continue to pay on student loans.
That's so great that you've been able to do that. And just interesting to hear back to the STEM interest that you then had that in college. And I'm really interested to hear where that might show up and how you think about it now. Was GMRI the first role that you had out of college, or was there something before that?
There was something before that. So one of the benefits I had of being involved in the sciences in college was a connection that a professor made for me at Maine Medical Center. And I ended up working in a psychiatric research program for almost 5 years, including full-time starting as a junior in college. And as part of that experience, I was able to really get my first taste of the professional corporate world even before I had graduated. I started that role as an intern, and it became a full-time role in less than 2 months. So it was really a wonderful connection for me to be able to get my feet wet and be doing something for work and to make money that actually aligned with what I wanted to do professionally. So I spent almost 5 years there before I went to the Gulf of Maine Research Institute.
And what were you doing at GMRI?
I worked in the development group. So I started focusing more on some of the technical lens of my STEM curiosity. So I was running all of their data sets and technology for the development group. And by development, what I mean is fundraising, primarily making sure that we could support the education and science and community programs of the organization. Super fortunate to be able to connect with a lot of really interesting board members and community members and get my hands wet in both the community aspect of sustainable fisheries, but also this really deep focus on education for Maine students, which is just a passion of mine, especially as a first-gen student without a lot of those opportunities growing up. I was really interested in what they call their lab venture program, where they bring students really from every middle school in Maine to experience this really immersive science program. So a lot of my fundraising support and campaign work was focused on supporting that education initiative.
We don't often think about marketing and communications and development as technical in nature, but it's all data driven, right? And so your technical skills are so valuable in that because they provide the right insights, the right infrastructure to be able to do that effectively.
One of the things about that that's worth commenting on is that Colleen, actually, our former executive director, really helped me understand the concept of transferable skills. I remember leaving Maine Medical Center, which was a very niche research program, feeling like, oh my goodness, I don't really know what to do with what I know how to do at this point because it feels so specialized to me. And through conversations with her and others on the Mitchell Institute team, I was able to figure out that a lot of that conceptual thinking and soft skills and even some hard skills really do translate to a bunch of different places. And so I was able to use some of what I had learned about statistical analysis and research to translate that into technical infrastructure and targeted marketing and components like that that really do drive the development and fundraising efforts in a way that I just didn't have exposure to prior to that. And that's a theme that I've really carried throughout my career. I've done almost nothing on paper that looks logical in terms of the different moves that I've made, but it's really that innate curiosity and those transferable skills that I've carried with me. And that's, again, largely in part to the Mitchell Institute and some of that early mentoring experience.
I love to hear that you're identifying that thread and around curiosity, especially. Sometimes it takes a while, right, to be able to get through your career. And then in looking back, you figure out what that thread was. So when you're in it, you just really don't understand the connections. And then with some hindsight, it's easier to see.
Yeah, certainly as a now 20-year out of high school professional, it hurts a little bit to say that. there are some things that I can see a bit more clearly now, but it's probably one of the most consistent threads throughout my career.
That curiosity must have taken you to your next steps after that. So I know that you went to work for Baxter Academy and on to TD Bank after that. So tell us a little bit about those.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I mentioned my passion for education in the state of Maine. And while I was working at the Gulf of Maine Research Institute, I was asked to do some consulting on a technical infrastructure for a brand new school in Portland. Definitely right up my alley in terms of the type of work I wanted to be doing. So I did design their technical infrastructure. And ultimately, they asked me to come on board as both their IT director and their enrollment director. So I got a bit of a blend of the technical skills and the hard skills I knew how to do really well, but also this element of community and working with the State Department of Education and the Charter Commission to really focus on how you build out a new school, both operationally and functionally, plus the people aspect of it. How do you bring on new students and get families acclimated and comfortable to what you're doing? One of my first really significant leadership roles, actually, as we looked at the different ways that you could make a startup come to life. And I was there for about a year as a consultant and about a year as a full-time employee before I made another transition.
And what about that transition? What were you thinking about and wanting to make a move then?
You know, it's interesting. As I look back at initially deciding to come to TD, I remember thinking, gosh, I never thought I'd see myself in banking. It was so different than what I had gone to school for, but I was struggling to understand how all of those transferable skills would really align. But I recognized that as a fairly young mom, young child, I needed to make a change because I was working 80-hour weeks, and I really wanted something that was a bit better focused on my family at that point. So I wanted to go to a corporation that had a better balance, but also had room for growth, because I knew that that curiosity was going to fuel that fire. I just needed to do so within the confines of a more reasonable schedule. And I was lucky to come to work for you at TD, where I could use some of those technical skills, but also really get a crash course in what is banking. I remember thinking, gosh, I'll come in And I'll have this kind of down in 3 to 6 months. I'll understand the terminology and I'll understand how it works. And at a year, I knew where the bathroom was. It was a little humbling, I think, to realize just how different it was as an industry. But it was also a tremendous learning experience, meeting the people, understanding the lingo, and really starting to understand how a large corporation makes their money and takes care of their customers.
Yeah, it's back to the transferable skills, which I think is a wonderful point. You know, having myself been in banking and retail and technology and entertainment, and, you know, you just start to realize that although these businesses are very different from each other, what you bring to them is very consistent. And so that's why they're looking for you. And I know that after I moved out from TD Bank and you were still there, your career just has absolutely taken off. And just would love to hear how you went about developing your career within the bank after getting started.
I think the most important piece of it is focus on people. You know, I mentor a number of different folks, and some of the early questions I get when I start a mentoring relationship are, what do I need for skills? How do I acquire new knowledge or get more training so that I am more marketable? I took a slightly different lens. You know, I certainly learned a lot about how to do different things at the bank, but building relationships with people has been the single most important thing I've done in my entire career. And as I look at my time over TD, I had 8 roles in 9 years at TD. And I was super fortunate to really not ever have to look for a job. The relationships and the networking and the connections that I made always took me to that next level. And I was able to move up pretty quickly. One of the things that I do think was pretty neat about my time at TD is that pretty much everything that I did was very different than the last. And to your point about bringing something consistent to a company, what that really transpired into for me was leadership development. So how do you bring people together in really cohesive ways and get stuff done? How do you create calm when things are really chaotic? And that's another theme that I think I do bring to the table, is that when everything is crazy and chaotic and feels overwhelming, that's when I get calm. And that has served me so well over my last, you know, 8 roles at TD, where it's given me the opportunity to take on these big, messy situations and create some magic in it. But not only the relationships that I built with others at TD, but the relationships that I fostered on my teams has served me over and over and over. One of the things that I learned really quickly as I became a people manager at TD is I wanted to be the kind of boss I wanted, and I wanted to be the type of leader that someone would want to work for again. And, you know, as I look at every role I've had, every team I've managed, every initiative or program I've built, the underlying consistent piece of success has been focusing on the people, making sure that people feel supported and engaged and empowered to do what they do best. And when you hire people smarter than you, it all comes together really quickly. You know, my focus has really been on creating an environment of curiosity and making sure that other people can leverage their skills to make magic happen. A lot of the success I've had has been due to the teams that I've managed and just the incredible people that have been willing to roll up their sleeves and get their hands dirty. The other thing I'll say about that is, as a leader, you should never ask your team to do something you wouldn't do yourself. And quite often, if there was a fire we were fighting, I'd be right in the trenches with them. And I think that just builds a level of trust and camaraderie on teams that you can't buy. I've been just unbelievably privileged to have incredible people on my teams. And looking back over my time at TD and some of the things I was able to do, it all comes back to the people.
That's so well said. And I know TD as an organization is one that supports career development so well. And there are many places like that. And so if you're somebody who isn't quite sure what direction you want to take, you can have many different careers within one company, honestly. And so I'm not totally surprised to hear that you've had 8 roles, although it sounds like a lot in 9 years for sure.
You know, the thing that I say about that, I love to talk to my teams about this one, Michelle, is that I've never been ready to move on from a role. And one of the things I really wrestled with early in my career was that I felt like I wasn't done yet. And when I would get tapped to do something different, it was like, but I just got comfortable and I just figured out everything we're doing and it's humming along so smoothly at this point. But the reality for me is what I'm really good at is getting it to that point. And then I'm able to hand it off to somebody that can continue to drive the change. Where I add the most value is getting it to that jumping point. There's an inflection point in org design or program design or product design where they don't need me anymore. And I had to get really comfortable with that discomfort of feeling like the box wasn't fully checked yet. It's taken a long time to be able to say good enough is good enough right now. I don't have to see it all the way through the life cycle, but then I also get to watch just really talented people have an opportunity to finish what I started that perhaps they wouldn't have had if I had stayed stagnant.
And I know you certainly don't have to talk about it because it's late breaking news, but I know you're making another career transition. So we'll be excited to hear more about that.
Yeah, I'm actually more than happy to talk about it. And it continues to sort of hammer home the point that people are everything professionally. I worked with a couple of really tremendously talented folks at TD. Coming out of one of my most recent roles, I was asked if I was interested in making a transition. So I'm joining the executive leadership team at Discover Financial Services, which is based out of Riverwood, Illinois. I'm fortunate as a Maine girl through and through that I'm able to continue to work remotely and just travel a bit. But I'm really excited to really do some transformative work for them as we reimagine the way their deposit and digital businesses look. And again, it comes back to the people. I'm running towards Discover because I've watched the caliber of their leadership team and the energy they have to create change. And that's just something I want to be part of. So I'm very much looking forward to joining their team. But I'd be lying if I said I wasn't thoroughly enjoying a couple of weeks of my Maine summer with my 3 young kids. It's the first break that I've had professionally in, well, forever. I've never had the opportunity to really take the time. So it's pretty cool to just take a little bit of leisure time with my kids and soak up some sunshine.
I'm so glad that you get that chance. And also congratulations, really thrilled for you and not at all surprised that you just continue to grow and find these amazing opportunities. And again, so lucky to be sitting here in Maine and be able to continue to grow your professional career. It's great.
Yeah, and I love that you focused on the Maine piece, Michelle, because I think a lot of people don't realize that there are opportunities if you want to stay here. You know, I love where we live. We're super fortunate to be in this incredible place, and commerce can be challenging here. There are a ton of great companies in Maine where you can be on site, but it's also okay to ask for what you need. And with Discover, they would have loved to have me in Riverwood. And I was willing to go to bat and say, look, I've proven what I can do remotely. I've worked fully remotely for the last 7 years. And my track record of success shows what I can do. So take a chance on me. Let me be remote. Let me show you what I can accomplish, you know, and come to the office a couple of times a month. And they're fully supportive of that, but it also enables me to continue to raise my kids in this place I love so much.
I'm glad you get that opportunity. And I think you're right. You just need to be creative. You know, there's always a way to do what you want to do in both your life and your work. You just have to figure out that solution. So with all of that experience that you've shared with us, I'm sure that you have a few pieces of advice for Mitchell Scholars that you'd like to share.
Absolutely. You know, and I think I've hit on it a couple of times this morning, but one of the things that a mentor said to me pretty early in my career at TD was, what if it works out? You know, I remember being really nervous about making a career transition. I was in banking, but I was going to be doing something very different than what I was used to. I wasn't sure if I'd be any good at it. And I remember saying to him, what if I can't do this? What if people realize I'm not as smart as they want me to be? And, you know, after a few choice words, which I loved him for, his feedback was, what if it works out? What if this is, you know, a million times better than you think it will be? And I've tried to carry that throughout my career in that it's okay to be scared. I actually seek out opportunities that scare me a little bit, but it's also really important to remember your core, remember what you're good at, remember the strengths that you can draw on, and call on your network if you don't know. You know, one of the most powerful things I've learned to say professionally is, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what that means. I am completely lost and I need you to bring me up to speed. People are more than willing to teach you and help you get there, but they need to know that you're lost. And, you know, some of the most incredible learning experiences I've had, because I raised my hand and said, I have no idea what you're talking about at this point. So don't be afraid to ask for help. Ask for help often. Ask for help from many different types of people, especially people that don't look, think, or act like you. Having mentors and advocates and sponsors, all of which are very different things, and it's important to know the difference between them, has been one of the most impactful pieces of my career at TD in particular. Having people that are willing to say your name in a room full of opportunities is just transformative. And understanding who those people are that are advocating for you and building the relationships before you need them is another big one. I love mentoring. It's one of my favorite parts of my job. It's something I do personally. It's something I do professionally. But one of the things that I struggle with is people that only reach out to me when they want a job on my team. And it happens a lot professionally. You know, I'm always willing to roll up my sleeves and help someone get where they want to go. But I would much rather be having the conversation when you don't need a job. Talk to me about the skills you're trying to build. Talk to me about the things you're struggling with professionally that you're trying to grow through. Those are when those conversations are super impactful as a mentor. But I would strongly recommend that everybody has at least one or two mentors. And go to the meetings prepared with questions and to ask for what you need. Chris Nestori, who's the head of operational risk at TD, is a longtime mentor and friend of mine. And there's not a month that goes by where I don't text him, help, I've got a question. And we'll jump on a few minute phone call. But having that lifeline and having someone to bounce ideas off that isn't in your direct reporting chain is absolutely invaluable. And I think everybody should have it. Other advice that I would give, definitely draw on your curiosity, surround yourself with people smarter than you and learn what they know is a huge one. I try to hire people on my teams that are innately curious and want to understand how things work and want to get things done in an environment that's supportive. You know, I recently had the pleasure of managing probably the best team in my career. We were working through some merger and acquisition work at the bank, and this team was just magic. I was excited to log in every day, and I got to watch them really grow and shine over a period of about 15 months. And the underlying piece of that magic that I think is advice worth giving is find the people that you connect to, seek out leaders that make you feel supported and empowered and bring out the best version of you, in particular, people that are willing to challenge you when you think you may have it all figured out and maybe need a new perspective. Being challenged and receiving feedback is really hard sometimes, but some of the best growth opportunities I've had have been through feedback maybe I didn't necessarily want to get at the time. Those are the places where you really see the magic happen.
Such great advice. Thank you so much for sharing that. So we always like to end with what we call lightning round. And in this, I will just say a few words. And when I say the word, you just respond with whatever comes to mind for you first.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, first word is learning.
Education.
Community.
Support.
Mentorship.
Invaluable.
That is something that you definitely make clear. Well, Dakota, thank you so much for sharing all of this with us. We're so thrilled about the next step in your career and really glad to have been able to hear all of what you've been up to over these many years.
Great to see you, Michelle. Thank you so much for having me and the Mitchell Institute and Scholars. Just continue to do what you do best, connect with people and shine. It's an incredible organization.
Thanks again for joining us for today's episode of Scholars Speak. To learn more about the Mitchell Institute, you can visit www.mitchellinstitute.org or follow along on social media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn.